This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back, everybody. For those that are just arriving, my name is Wade Brill, and I am a mindfulness coach and meditation teacher. And I love holding and joining these Wednesday afternoon talks because they're an opportunity for us to practice in more depth together. And the theme that I wanted to explore with you today is the practice of letting go. And I recently, this feels like very present for me, and I'm sure some of you can relate to it as well, as I think as humans, we always can have practice letting go. But recently, my husband and I packed up our house to get ready for renters as we're in Spain for the next few months. And as we were packing up the house and we're putting away all of our clothes into bags and putting our bags into a closet, and we're decluttering the house and we're putting everything away to be locked away, it was like this moment of like, holy shnikey, all of the things that we hold on to, right? The figurative, literal things, clothes, memorabilia, candles, like books, journals, right? To then also all the thoughts we hold, all the emotions we hold, all the beliefs we hold. And when I started to see my stuff just in these, airtight bags that weighed so much, probably like hundreds of pounds, it was this visceral feeling of just how much stuff we hold, not just in things, but again, thoughts, emotions, belief, that can really weigh us down. And the things that we hold can also bring us joy, right? It can also bring us memories. It can also bring sweetness. But there's also this like balance of what is it worth to hold on to, what's mine to actually hold on to, and what's mine to let go of. What do I no longer need? Where can I offer some more freedom, some more spaciousness, some more flexibility in my mind, my body, my life? And I think we're conditioned in a lot of different ways to keep holding on, to hold on to our stuff because of fear, right? Fear that we won't get another thing or that we'll need the thing. We hold on to our thoughts. We get caught in patterns of rumination, right? When our head hits the pillow at night, we start turning, the brain starts turning, thinking about, oh, what did I do today? Or what did I not do today? Or, I can't believe I said that, or I wish I did this differently, or, oh man, I really missed the ball on this, right? We hold on to those thought loops, those patterns of thinking. We hold on to the future. Like we try to grasp and control the future, thinking like if I can, hold tight enough, if I can plan really smartly or effectively, that I can make sure the outcome of the future is exactly how I want it to be, exactly what my mind is expecting it to be. And so we hold on to that, right? And we hold on to emotions in the body and tightness in the stomach and tension in the jaw and tension in the shoulders or low back. And we tend to just, again, we can hold a lot. And some of the holding, right, the rumination, the trying to control the future, the holding on to our stuff, it comes from a place of protection, right? We don't want to get mad at ourselves. We don't want to shame ourselves. We don't want to beat ourselves up for making the choices that we do. We realize that it's actually the body and mind, our nervous system, our brain, our intelligence is trying to keep us safe, right? When we get trapped in thoughts of rumination, that's the brain trying to replay that conversation over and over again to kind of learn from it, to make sense of it, to try to reorient to it. And so we get to appreciate the body, the brain, the nervous system for having these kinds of protective responses, right? The mind, when it starts to think of the future, when it starts to catastrophize or tries to control what might happen in the future, that's coming from a place of protection, right? We want, our body wants to stay safe and wants to stay alive. So it thinks, if I plan extra hard, if I control all of these variables with as much strength and might as I can, I can maybe guarantee more of my safety in the future. But there's so much in life that we can't control. And learning to discern, which I think our meditation practice is one of the biggest gifts it gives us, is this ability to discern, this ability to decide what's actually mine to hold on to and what's mine to let go of. And I love this like visual of our hands. If you know some of my work, I have what I call the mindful hand of self-care. So I love using our hands as visuals for things because they're the way we interact with life. And so when our hands are closed, when we're holding on to all the things, the thoughts of the past, the future, our stuff, we're not able to actually receive the present moment, right? If you have the ability to make fists with your hands right now, or even just one hand, what is it like to try to pick up a pen right now, right? It's not really that easy, right? Or if you were to try to get a glass of water, it's a little challenging. Could you pick up your phone with right fists and hands? It's restricting. And so when we can open our palms, when we can open our hands, when we can let go, we actually are able to pick up what we want to pick up. We're able to hold what we want to hold. We're able to receive the present moment or these gifts of life with a little bit more ease. And so much of our life, we can tend to be gripping and holding on. And this just is such a practice to be able to receive the present moment when we can open our hands, when we can allow ourselves to actually be more in the present moment, accepting what's here, versus trying to ruminate in the past, thinking we can think our way out of what happened, or planning the future, thinking we can control our way into safety and our expectations. And so our practice, right, when we practice mindfulness, is to be present. It's to be present in the moment. And when we're present in the moment, we can discern again, like, what are we holding on to? What is mine to hold on to and what isn't mine? And I used to have I'm still in the practice of letting go, but I used to have a really hard time with letting go. Like, it wasn't even in my vocabulary. I was like, once I had an idea in my head of how I wanted something to look or be, I was like, this is what it has to look or be like. I would hold my plan and my vision and my expectations so tightly that it continuously led me down the path of more disappointment, more suffering, more pain. And in reality, I feel like I would receive even less of what I wanted because I was so tight. I was so close to what could be. And so this practice of letting go that I've been really welcoming in my life, surrendering to in my life, has been a practice. And, you know, as a real life example, you know, I have had this vision of my husband and I moving to Spain for years and years. And I would have these plans and I would grip the plans so tightly and they would never work out. It would never work out. And here came this moment in time where I planted a seed and I was like, can we make this happen to my husband? And I held the plans really loosely, so loosely that we packed up our bags and rented out our house and bought plane tickets and found an Airbnb all within a week of it happening. And it happened though. And I'm like in a pinch me moment because here I am receiving this thing that I've wanted so badly for so many years, so deep within my soul, that my plans of tightening never worked out. But here was this opportunity where I got to flow like water and support us navigating a life moment, but from this place of receptivity, from this place of openness, from this place of being willing to receive what's here. And so it wasn't just the plan in my mind, right? It was that I was awake and aware of, here's an opportunity. I planted a seed, had a conversation with my husband, and here we are, you know, a week later, making these big moves happen. And I want to share this because I think we are conditioned, especially a lot of high achievers, a lot of the people I work with, a lot of ambitious people, we think we just need to stick to this narrow plan and we need to keep our life like this. And we need to always kind of have an agenda and we need to keep life kind of really tight and on time and boxed in and efficient. But when we do that, what I've noticed in my life is that it prevents me from being open to other possibilities and other possibilities that actually might have worked out better for me than what I had planned for myself. And yet we never know. And so there's this like essence of like kind of a trust fall that has to happen. There's this essence of needing to surrender to the moment. And that's why I said flow like water, because, you know, when you think of water, it finds its way, right? It doesn't know if it's going through. Think of a river, and as the water flows, it could go over a rock or it could go to the sides of a big rock or around the rock, right? And there's this idea of it's flowing, it's let go of its restrictive agenda, and it's allowing its energy to kind of move with what obstacles start to show up. And yet we think, you know, oh, life can be so clear cut, and if I do this and this and this is guaranteed and this is, but what we realize when we live life is that nothing is guaranteed, right? Nothing is guaranteed, and not much typically goes to plan. So what is it like if we were to live and move through life with this sense of openness, with the sense of letting go so that we can receive the magic of the moment, more so than controlling it, white knuckling it, holding onto it so tightly? And so I welcome you in this moment to just kind of let everything I just shared kind of land. I'm starting to see some comments in the chat, which I love. And just take a moment and notice, like, where in your life, what are you holding on to right now? What are you holding on to? Is there a certain conversation you're replaying? Is there an event that happened that you keep processing, or something you wish you did that you didn't do? Are you holding on to shame or grief or guilt? Are you holding on to fear? Are you holding on to love? Are you holding on to that job promotion or that one person or that one relationship or that outcome of that medical test or that diagnosis? What are you holding on to right now? And if you are like most people, you are, and like me, you're probably holding on to a lot. And when we hold on to a lot, it doesn't just show up in the mind. For most people, it also starts to show up in the body. So holding on to tension in the jaw, tension in the shoulders, tension in the gut. And then I welcome you to think on and reflect on, like, what's the impact of all of this holding for you? What's the impact? Yeah, if you're holding on to a relationship, there's that sense of one-sided attachment. What's that impact for you? And I welcome you to explore, like, what would it be like to let go? And letting go doesn't mean we're indifferent. It doesn't mean we're, like, checked out of life. You know, we're just like, cool, man, whatever, you know, and totally kind of zombies or totally detached. Instead, it's this, like, question of, like, what can I let go of that I don't need to be carrying anymore, right? What is mine to hold on to? What's my responsibility? And what can I let go of? Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that in the chat, that letting go is a form of self-love, right? Our skin sheds, right? Our body releases, you know, number ones and number twos throughout the day. Like, letting go is a natural part of life. And yet, I feel as humans, we want to hold on. We want to restrict. We want to tighten. And we can get into these patterns. And when that happens, it creates clogs. It creates restriction. There's less flow. There's less flexibility. And so letting go, this practice really opens up the heart. It opens up the mind. It opens up maybe even a spiritual connection for some. I know it has for me, this idea of trust. Right, that I can not just only trust myself to figure it out, but I can trust kind of the universe. I can trust myself to kind of let go, and what will happen will happen. You know, sometimes I can get a lot of what I call hurry sickness and time anxiety, where I get so attached to things like being on time and having this plan and the structure and I got to do this and da, 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 da. And you know, if I'm stuck in traffic, it's like, and I'm going to be 10 minutes late to that appointment. No matter how much I am sitting there, maybe in my Uber, ruminating that I'm stuck in traffic and wishing I could control what was happening, it's like, it's a moment of letting go, of surrendering. Like, I will arrive to that appointment when I arrive. And no matter how much rumination or spinning my mind starts to do in the back of that Uber, late, stuck in traffic, it won't get me there faster, right? So there's an essence of like surrendering into the letting go. Letting go helps surrender, allowing me to be with what is. And again, like the palms open and I can just receive. And then, you know what? My ride is a lot smoother. I filled with a lot more ease as I then get to my appointment. I'm not all flustered and have tension and tightness in my body because I was, you know, thinking I could control the traffic and control all these variables. But instead I was like, ah, I am right here and I'm going to arrive. And it's all going to work out however it's going to work out. And sometimes our mind doesn't like that, right? Because it wants to work out how we want it to work out. And that becomes its own practice, right? To trust into the letting go, to trust into the surrender. And sometimes we want to control like other people's experiences, right? We want to control what other people are doing. We want to control what other people are feeling. And again, that comes from a place of protection. That comes from this place of wanting to be safe in the environment, wanting it to be copacetic, wanting to know that we can like get along with other people. Right? Or that again, we can have our needs met, but we can't control others as much as we would love it, right? We can't control. And so learning to let go, learning to surrender to what somebody else might be feeling, thinking, doing, saying is a huge practice. You know, sometimes I can catch myself, like trying to control my husband, like we're about to have dinner and he goes to snack and I'm like, don't snack, we're about to have dinner, you know? And it's like, let him eat. Like, I don't need to hold on to his food schedule. I don't need to hold on to what he puts into his mouth, right? Like, I can let it go. I don't need to hold on to that. And when I can let that go, it's like, oh, I can be more present and open to just connecting with him. I can be more present and open to just what's happening in the present moment, listening to sounds, connecting to my own breath. I'm not in the stories and swirl of the mind. And so there are all of these examples that I really think you'll start to see, if you're not already seeing them, throughout your day, throughout your life, where there's such a knee-jerk reaction to hold, to grasp, to control. And what would it be like in all of those moments to discern, like, what can I let go of? And when I can let go of that, wow, what's possible for me? For me, when I've stopped trying to like micromanage my husband or control him, it's like I have recognized like so much more happiness and freedom within my own heart and mind and body. I'm like, oh yeah, I get to take care of me. Doesn't mean I don't get to take care of him and be loving to him, but it's like, oh yeah, I get to like focus on what I can actually control, which is my thoughts, my actions, my beliefs. I'm like, oh my God, there's so much freedom in that. Yeah, and I see in the chat, what do you do when you hold on to ongoing fear about each appointment, medical conditions, diagnosis, and tests, always hoping for stable results and a good outcome. Oh, yeah, thank you for sharing that. And as a cancer survivor, I know that journey really well. When I was 21, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and went through 6 months of chemo and lost most of my hair and went through a whole journey and learning how to let go of the results, like trusting how to realize again, what's mine to control, what's my responsibility in those moments was what I could control, right? So it was like eating well, moving my body, meditating, taking care of my mental health, my emotional health, my spiritual health, like doing the things that I could actually control, my responsibility, and then letting go of the rest, surrendering to what was going to happen inside of my body that I couldn't control. You know, this is where I really learned the practice of self-compassion, of learning how to send healing, loving energy to my cells, to my body, feeding myself with nutrient-dense food, right? Paying attention to who are the people that I enjoy being around, like thinking of what's in my locus of control, right? Those were those personal responsibilities. And then the rest I had to let go of, because no matter how much I fought with or tried to control the outcomes, I couldn't. So I could only show up with what I could show up with. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And sounds like you're a survivor as well. And so happy to hear that. And whether you have had a cancer diagnosis in your life, whether you're currently managing a health condition, whether you're a caretaker of somebody else, learning these practices are so invaluable, because when we hold on and we fight with what's in the present moment, with what's reality, with what's here, when we resist that, we create so much more stress and struggle for ourselves. And so letting go is a way to like take out the stuff we hold in our invisible backpacks, lighten the load that we carry so that we can be more free and present and open to possibilities. So I want to guide us through what's called the muscle, progressive muscle relaxation practice. This, maybe some of you are familiar with it. And I'm going to offer it to you if it doesn't feel good in your body, or if you want to do another practice that you're familiar with, or come back to your breath or sounds as an anchor, you're more than welcome to. And for me, I really enjoy this progressive muscle relaxation exercise because it reminds me how much I'm holding on to within my physical body, and how I can practice letting go. And when the body can practice letting go, it also helps the mind practice letting go. So I will walk us through this practice. We'll do it for about 15 or so minutes, and then afterwards open it up to any sharing and questions. So I welcome you to find a comfortable seat. I'm going to take a sip of water. And if you can, place your feet on the ground. Eyes can be open or closed, and arms just relaxed in your lap. Just finding the breath, letting the breath be fluid. So even as we connect to the breath, we can practice letting go, knowing that as we inhale, as we receive, we don't just hold on to that breath, we also get to let it go. This balance of inhaling, receiving oxygens, nutrients to our bodies, and exhale, practicing letting go, releasing what doesn't serve us, what's not ours to hold. And I'll welcome you to bring your attention all the way to your feet. And I welcome you to squeeze your feet if you're physically able to. So you'll feel like your toes are kind of curling inwards, imagining you are kind of picking up a pencil between your big toes, between all of your toes, and start to just squeeze the feet together as if it was curling into a little ball. And see if you can just kind of hold that tension, hold that squeezing for a couple breaths. Again, we don't want it to feel painful, but we want there to be sensation of holding, of gripping, and just noticing what does that feel like as your feet hold. Can you squeeze a little tighter, breathing into it? And as you exhale, release your toes, uncurl your feet, allow the feet to fully relax, and just notice, like, what was that sensation like? To not only notice the gripping, but to be with the releasing, the letting go. And then I welcome you to bring attention to your thighs, to your glutes. And I welcome you to tighten your glutes and your thighs. Maybe you feel your hamstrings, your quads start to tighten here. And just start to hold that tightening, feeling your glutes tighten, your quads tighten, engaging that. All of those muscles, feeling the gripping, holding on. Keep holding, keep breathing. Good, feeling that tension, keep holding it. Can you engage a little tighter, grip a little bit more in the glutes, the hamstrings. And then soften and release. And noticing what that sensation feels like as the legs, the glutes release into the chair. And then I welcome you to bring your attention to your shoulders, and I welcome you to curl your shoulders up to your ears and start to tighten your shoulders, really gripping here. And it might feel really uncomfortable, but just exaggerating this motion if this feels okay in the body. Kind of stay with here a couple of breaths, breathing into the constriction, the holding, breathing out. Keep squeezing shoulders to ears, ears to shoulders. Noticing the sensation of gripping in the body. And then on the exhale, slowly let the shoulders drop down the back. And notice the sensation of letting go. And then I welcome you to bring your attention to your hands, and we're gonna make tight fists with our hands and start to squeeze your fingers. Maybe your fingernails start to kind of get into the palms of the hands. We don't wanna squeeze too tight that we puncture any skin, but just starting to feel that tension, that gripping, right? That holding on to life, that constriction. And keep squeezing fists together, seeing how tight you can make it if you're physically able to with the hands. And again, breathing into the sensation of holding on. Keep squeezing, keep gripping. And on the next exhale, slowly releasing the fingers, letting them gently uncurl. And just notice what that sensation feels like.
Oh, my God.
Let go. And breathing into open palms, open hands here. And then just breathing now into the mind and recognizing again if there are any thoughts that you feel are really tight and constricted in the mind, loops, maybe ruminations. And what is it like once you can notice or name those thoughts? Name those thoughts. Just asking yourself, what's mine to hold on to? What's my responsibility here? What can I let go of? Sometimes when we examine our thoughts, we recognize that we maybe did something out of alignment to our values, or we have a desire to act in alignment with our values. So maybe that's yours to hold on to. And maybe the rest of the story, the rest of the dynamic. Maybe you can invite that to let go, to soften, to release. And just noting, what does it feel like to breathe and be in this body that's maybe a little bit more open, that's let go of just a little bit more. Taking a few more breaths here in this practice. Maybe asking yourself, is there anything else I can let go of in the heart, in the mind, in the body? What happens if I release my jaw just a little bit more? What happens if I soften my abdomen? And as you find your feet again, feeling your feet right where you are, notice as you transition back to our call together, maybe opening your eyes, what is it like to come to this moment with just a little bit more openness? Maybe a little bit more space. Feel free in the chat to share one or a few words that come up for you. What is it like to come to this moment with just a little bit more openness, more space. For me, I notice there's just, I feel more present. I'm like not in the stories, I'm not wrapped up in something in my mind, my attention. There's a sense of like readiness that I feel. And sometimes it can feel a little vulnerable, right? Because I'm used to like so much armor of protection, so much like planning, controlling. But it's like, it's actually really nice not to have that, and that like sense of openness and vulnerability feels like the greatest gift to then be able to connect, authentically connect to everybody here. Yeah, so the ultimate control is letting go. Yeah. Learning how to let go. Yeah. Relaxing, soothing. Yes, there, thank you for the question there. This recording will be shared on the UCLA app, as well as in a few moments, I'll share some ways that we can stay connected and other meditations that I have. Yeah, weight lifted off of your shoulders, upper back. Yeah. This progressive muscle relaxation tool is really great, especially in those moments where you're even like at work, maybe sitting at a desk or just maybe interacting with a client and you feel so much tension, is to like actually invite that tension in, invite the constriction in, be with it, like tightening into it, and then invite the release. So you actually allow the muscles to have space to drop, to reset. I'm in more control of self when I let go of expectations of others. Yes. Right there with you. Yeah. Experiencing a refreshing and sense of clarity. Thank you. Yeah, so I welcome you to think about like where in my life is calling for more letting go. Right? Where do I want to bring these practices, these questions, this more open body to in my life? Is it in certain relationships? Is it around a health diagnosis? Is it around work? Is it around planning, moving? And so as you think about that, I'm welcome to also answer any questions that anybody has about the theme we've explored today and letting go. Now I feel organizing and putting away are a way of freeing myself. Yeah, rather than doing something I have to do. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's like processing things, right? Decluttering, letting things go, giving things away. Like all of this is kind of moving energy instead of holding it, constricting it, letting the clutter, whether it's in our environment or in our own minds, hearts, and bodies, weigh us down. So much freedom there. Clarity that when I let go of relationships that no longer work, then I can spend better time with the relationships that do work, that are healthier. Yes, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. This goes back to the fear that we have of letting go, right? We think like, oh, if I let go of this relationship, or I let go of these shoes or this purse, or let go of this job, like I'm never gonna have another job, or I'm never gonna have another relationship, or I'm never gonna be able to afford another pair of shoes. There can be so much fear around letting go, but when we actually let go, it can actually call in a cooler pair of shoes or a better relationship, a healthier relationship. So important to be aware of our relationship to letting go and actually the gift that it can give us. Yeah, cleansing. Thank you for sharing that. Any questions present for anybody about what you practiced today or anything that's coming up for you? Okay. Well, I'll share with you in the chat. Oh, we have a question. I think part of letting go is allowing the pain of letting go to come up. Yeah. Thank you for naming that. Yeah, because we don't just like want to like, oh, I'm feeling that. Okay, ignore, right? Like pushing something away isn't really letting go, right? It's pushing it. It's like sweeping it under the rug. It's putting it in a closet to deal with it. later, right? Which is what I did with all of our things when we moved. But it's like really learning to let go is learning to process it, learning to meet it, learning to see it clearly, getting to know it, offering compassion towards it. And then, wishing it well, thanking it for the service that it offered us in the moment, right? Thanking that relationship for the gifts that it gave us or the things that it taught us, and also recognizing that everything's impermanent. And so maybe this relationship isn't serving me anymore, and I get to let it go. Oh, there's so much intelligence in the emotions. Yeah. Yeah, our emotions teach us so much about what our needs are or what's important to us, our values. Yeah, I try to remind myself that nothing is forever, such as moving decisions. It's hard though, because there is no forever. Yeah. And it's work, right? Anything that we decide to do or commit to is work. So there's also this level of like investment that it's like, well, I don't want to let go of that because I just spent a lot of time or effort or money on that. But again, that's kind of a form of controlling, of thinking like we're in a deficit if we let go. But actually, if we let go, there could be some really cool things on the other side of it. Yeah, part of the journey. Yeah. Thank you all for sharing that. Well, for those, as we bring this class to a close, again, happy to stay on and answer any other questions. These are some ways that we can stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at onewade or at wadebrill.com. I also have a podcast called Centered in the City. That you can check out and listen to. And thank you for the good wishes while I'm in Spain. Yeah, and I hope it's reminding me of like the magic that happens when we surrender and let go of our own agenda, like when we can get out of our own way. And this has taken me years and years to practice, and I'm still practicing it. But I see the ease that it has and the wisdom that it has. And so I hope that you leave today with some insight into your own journey of how letting go can serve you and support you feeling more present, more open to life. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your shares, your contributions. It's this beautiful, amazing international crew. And wishing you all the best.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.